Open your mind. Expand your horizons. Experience more personal power. This is Breaking Limitations, brought to you by Provocative Enlightenment and hosted by Eldon Taylor.
Welcome and thank you for joining us today. This is 2 hours devoted solely to learning how we break through those self-imposed limitations that hold us back, keeping us stuck when there is so much more that we want to experience in our lives. 2 hours to examine who we are, where we want to be, and how we can go about accomplishing that objective. So the question, how did I get where I am and how do I get where I want to be, becomes our central inquiry. I'm Eldon Taylor, and this is Breaking Limitations. Last week, our guest was Gary Renard, and he shared his own journey to success with us. From years of depression, self-doubt, and even suicidal ideation, Gary found his way out through A Course in Miracles, through a strong spiritual sense of connection, and he has since devoted his life to sharing what he has learned. As a former musician, Gary did not hesitate to offer his life song as John Lennon's classic, performed by the Beatles, In My Life. There you have it, a remarkable person with a remarkable legacy. We received many letters, and as promised, I will share some of your letters every week as both a means of honoring your role in making this series a success and by way of shining a light on your insights from each show. To that end, Heidi wrote, "Last night I listened to the replay of your interview with Joan Borisenko, who is so lovely, and now I look forward to reading her books. I then listened to the replay of the Gary Renard interview, and when it came time to answer the questions, y'all answered mine first. It was amazing, and I appreciate it so much. I enjoyed Gary's interview and his answer to my question. It was very interesting to hear because I asked my brother Richard the same question the day before, and he gave me the same advice. Forgive, there is only one true power, or one mind with God. He told me to make a choice. Either I believe it or I don't. I could feel it in my stomach. I do. Love is. I look forward to your next interview on the 7th about your new book, which I very much look forward to reading, Choices and Illusions. Thank you, Eldon and Ravinder, for this amazing show." Richard wrote, "This is a really great theme for a program. Thank you. So much better than some of the self-help pablum out there. I hope in the future there will still be a place for you to interview amazing consciousness stories, too." Well, you can count on it, Richard. Our new 2-hour Provocative Enlightenment radio show begins in January, just a week after we finish our Breaking Limitations investigation. The new show will air on Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, so we hope you'll set 11 to 1 p.m. Pacific or 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern off for the new show. However, the show is syndicated, so if you miss the live broadcast, there are 3 other networks that will carry the replays during the week. Watch your email or my Facebook post for more details. Willow wrote, "Each time I listen to your show, I am more impressed with your insight. Keep doing what you are doing, Eldon, for the world needs you and 1,000 more like you." Now, Janice wrote, "I enjoy receiving Eldon's emails, but he really does need a makeover. His eyeglasses are very 1970s, and it's now 2013. It will not hurt his career to update his look." Okay. You know, my eyeglasses are fairly new, Rev. What am I missing out on here?
You know, I have no idea. To me, the 70s were bell-bottom pants and platform shoes, things I would never be seen dead in. I I like your glasses. I think you're cute just the way you are.
Well, I have to figure it out anyhow. All right. I'll tell you what, Janice, you could send me some pictures of what these new eyeglasses are supposed to look like. Jane wrote about my newest book, Choices and Illusions, How Did I Get Here and How Do I Get Where I Want to Be? And that's what our show is all about today. In Jane's words, quote, when reading this book, I felt like I was going to break my neck from nodding so much. I actually had to put it down a few times because I felt so charged I needed a break. That might sound a little crazy, but it was like someone threw a bucket of water on my face. I was knocked out of this trance that so many of us are in, and I needed time to process it. It was like ideas I had or things I suspected were suddenly brought to the light and made perfectly clear. Tranquility wrote in Eldon Taylor's new book, Choices and Illusions, he describes how the choices we can make are based mostly on the illusions that we deem to be true, referred to numerous times throughout the book as limiting beliefs. He explains how our beliefs and perceptions have molded the life that we currently live, and those are mostly based on what society dictates and our past experiences. To this point in time, I had not read any previous books that Taylor has written, so I was a little unsure of what I would find. I was, however, more than pleasantly surprised. I found myself highlighting various points in the book that created an aha moment for me. I consistently found myself putting the book down after reading a paragraph or two, just so I could process what I had read and how it rang so true in my life. I even had an awareness that allowed huge growth within myself. Albeit, the awareness itself was a bit hard to swallow, but the change that came from it was quite profound. What I really enjoyed is that Taylor uses stories to get his point across to readers. He references to different situations in his research, previously authored books, or books from other authors, and if at any point I felt the information went a bit over my head, I was always pleasantly surprised that his stories helped me understand the point behind the context. Not only does Taylor discuss what is going on in the human mind and human condition, but his stories allow insight on how to go about making changes where change is needed. He offers examples of how our minds work due to limiting beliefs, illusion, and perception. Matthew James offered this. I found Choices and Illusions to be a very thought-provoking read. Some excellent points raised regarding consciousness and mind. Eldon has a unique and humorous writing style that I like. This is one of those books that are hard to put down once you start engaging in the inner dialogue provoked by Eldon's thoughts and images which pop up out of the book. I love his analogies and his comparisons with the everyday life. His way of explaining things are superb. He includes his own life experiences, too, to further illustrate what was on his mind at the time he was writing. We also get a peek of the real person in his book. We see Eldon's sense of humor and his own inimitable view of life. In one incident, Eldon recounts the experience of having the side of his car smashed into by an old gentleman with no insurance or driver's license. Needless to say, he saw the funny side and he used the account to illustrate his change of attitude towards blame. One of the many discussion points in this fabulous book. Personally, Choices and Illusions is very much a reference book and a guide to life, a book I will be revisiting again and again. You know, I must say that I am deeply honored by all of the feedback on the new book. The three I just shared with you are but the tip of the iceberg. The reviews have just been fabulous. And Ravinder, it's a pretty big iceberg, what with all the gifts, bonuses, and the like that our team has assembled for this special book launch. But then we'll get into that later, okay?
Okay.
Today we are discussing the book not only due to its book launch, but because the book's title and purpose addresses our Breaking Limitations investigation very directly. Okay, moving on. That's all the time we're going to take for comments today, but I do invite you to opine by sending your email to eldon@eldontaylor.com or by joining me on Facebook. We can't get all of your letters on the show, but they do impact our programming, and we really thank you for your continued support and feedback. Now, last week, Gary suggested some very specific tools that one could employ to assist and facilitate their endeavors. I want to remind you all that last week's show is still playable, so if you missed it for a limited time, you still can listen. Okay, it can be easy to think about being stuck and to look around and see folks living the life you wish was yours. We have learned during this special investigation that the success we may covet comes as a result of trial and error. It follows years of tireless pursuit and often arises in the most unexpected packages. None of the people we have spoken to started out in life intent on becoming or doing what they are doing. Often it was trauma and tragedy that shaped their destiny. Not unlike the others we have spoken with, I too would never have seen my future as it has unfolded during what I thought was my professional career. As an investigator specializing in lie detection and forensic hypnosis, my dream was simply a larger agency. And at the time, I had a successful agency with some truly top people staffing it. Still, I felt driven by what I have called the fifth force, more. Let me explain that. The human condition is basically four drives, and they are often referred to in psych classes as the four F's: fight, flight, feeding, and fornication. However, when you look around at human behavior in our society, there seems to be a fifth, and that fifth I call more. More power, more money, more time, more toys, more, more, more. In other words, for the vast majority, our basic needs were met long ago, and now we are simply in pursuit of more. Sometimes our more is more shopping, more consumption, and more consumption just for the relief we feel we gain as a result of the exercise or experience of consumption. What a programmed circularity that is. When you think about it, this is not who we are at a quintessential level by any means. It is only how we behave. Well, if it's not who we are, then why do we behave this way? We'll ask that question and others today in just a few moments. But first, something about our format for those of you just joining us this week. We will use the first 90 minutes or so to learn what we can, and during the last half hour, we'll take your phone calls and or ask the questions you submit from our chat room. So if there's ever been something you really wanted to know about our subject, this is your chance to get the answer. We have two co-producers monitoring the chat room today, and they are Andrea and Jana. They will put your questions forward to us. Should you have any questions, including those not necessarily relevant to the interview itself, they are there to assist you with this as well, so be sure to ask. All right, here in the studio with me is my lovely partner, Ravinder. You've already heard her chime in a little bit, but we probably should get that official hello. Rav, you want to say hello to everybody?
Well, hello, everyone. I'm so glad you can join us today. We've got an information-packed show, so you probably need pen and paper, too.
No, you really think so?
I do.
Okay, well, you and I have many conversations about, you know, our work and my musings. You always seem to ask the right questions, so I've asked you today to dialogue with me during, just have a discussion about what the new book is all about. Ravinder is also the mind behind our book launch, so she can tell all of us about that as well. But, Rav, why don't we discuss the book first? Where do you want to start?
Definitely my favorite. This is my, you know, out of all of your books, I think this is the one that is the most key because it, you know, it gives a complete picture. If you only want to get one book, then that is the one. You do cover, you know, the how, why, what, where, why you think the way you do, how you can make the change. It's inspirational, but it is really practical as well. But I would like you to start with one of my favorite stories out of the book, because the book actually starts with a story, and it's about Nina the Eagle. Can you share that with us?
You know, happy to, but I want to make a comment on what you just said. You know, the new revised version of Choices is actually almost double what the original book was, because in all of the dialogues that I had, in all the lectures and the radio appearances and interacting with audiences, there were, you know, questions that came, and I saw opportunities. You know, that's something that should be fleshed out. We should unpack this notion too. Maybe I should have gone a little further here to explain that. And oh yeah, that's a very important topic that wasn't included. And so the end result was, 5 years later, I sat down, actually we sat down because you had your own list, and rewrote a lot of the book, mm-hmm. and added several new chapters, I believe it's 6 new chapters,
uh-huh.
and we also included a free CD in this book. So they get the Unlimited Personal Power CD, the InnerTalk CD, $27.95 value that comes with a book, and I think the book is on sale right now. Well, we'll get to that. I'm getting ahead. All right, let's take up Nina the Eagle. You know, the reason I like this story and the reason I opened the book is because it translates to our lives in more than one way. Most people are totally aware of something called imprinting. And you know, this is a phenomenon where we can take a duckling, a young duckling, and place it with chickens, and it will be raised by a hen only to become and behave like the chicken. It is imprinted by that environment. Well, you know, we're all imprinted. We're all enculturated in a very real way. So the story opens up to maybe, you know, share a little bit of that, and at the same time point towards an aspect of the human condition that goes ignored despite the fact we're aware of the imprinting, we're aware of it. So what we have is Nina is a young eagle who falls out of her nest and, you know, barely crawls around, and, you know, it's for sure that this young eagle is going to get eaten by a predator or something. It still has pin feathers, but a hen who happens to have wandered from the chicken coop, the chicken yard that day, out scratching, does what hens do, and anybody who's ever had a chicken knows how they'll adopt anything. So it adopts this young eagle, and it brings it into the chicken yard, and of course it raises it. Well, you know, Nina, the eagle, does mature, and she's not right good at laying eggs like the rest of the chickens, but she can really dig some holes that the hens and rooster can get down in on a hot day. So she finds herself adjusting to the chicken yard. She has her limitations, and she has the areas she excels in, and she fits into the community that way. Well, one day a male eagle is soaring out there, and he looks down in this chicken yard and sees this beautiful female eagle. So he decides, what is she doing in that chicken yard? I've got to check this out. So he swoops down, but as he comes down, the sun behind him, his shadow hits the yard. There is a warning cry, and of course, all of the chickens, including Nina, escape to the chicken house. Well, the male eagle hangs around for days, waiting for his opportunity that he can get into the yard and cut off Nina from a retreat to the chicken house. And the day comes, and boom, he swoops in. All the chickens get into the house, but Nina is trapped. She's trembling. She's frightened. And the eagle begins to tell her, you know, what are you doing in this yard? I mean, You're in a yard with a bunch of chickens. You're an eagle. Don't you realize? Isn't there something inside you that pushes you to fly? Isn't there some part of you that knows you don't belong in this chicken yard digging those holes? I mean, I have been watching you. Your behavior is like chickens. It's not what your potential is. You should soar. And he begins to tell her stories about what he has done and seen as an eagle, which just only further frightens her. Finally, Nina, a very smart eagle, says to the male eagle, no, wait a minute. If I'm an eagle, you're not really going to hurt me then. And he said, of course not. And she says, well, then you would step out of the way so I don't feel so trapped, because you know, right this minute I feel like, you know, you're not giving me an opportunity to even listen to you. I feel like I'm trapped. And he said, of course. And he steps to the side, and she runs by him into the chicken yard. She's escaped. Inside the chicken house, she tells all the chickens how she outsmarted the eagle. And, of course, they all tell her how intelligent she is, what a wonderful chicken she is, you know, and, of course, you're not an eagle. You belong in the chicken house with us. Well, if you think about that, most human beings have a feeling in their lives that there's more to what life is about than what they're experiencing. They feel that they should be doing something else, or that they are capable of more. And yet they have these beliefs that kind of pin them down. They're the chicken yard beliefs. Those beliefs that say, I can't fly. I'm just a chicken. I'm not a real good egg layer, but I can dig some good holes. That does all that kind of... And the group that we normally find ourselves hanging out with are like the chickens. When someone tells us what we're capable of, the group tells us we're not, and they reassure us that we made the right decision not to even try it. And that's why I opened the story there. That's why I opened the book there. It becomes a very good analogy for what many people experience in life.
I think that's really cool. That definitely does describe what we all go through. You know, we are being hemmed in by, I don't know, peers and the group, and it can be hard to take that plunge to do something, to dream big.
Well, you know that personally. I mean, you went to school to become a marine biologist. And once you earned your degree, and you had to work really hard to get it, but once you earned your degree, of course, your career was set, right? I mean, you knew what you were going to do. And you found yourself in a path lab.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how you say it, but you can't say it on the air because the S word is one of the seven sins, okay? But what you found yourself doing was looking at people's thesis on a daily basis. And you say you kind of get tired of looking at other people's.
Yes.
Okay?
I do.
But you felt trapped. You felt like, well, I did all this work. To get this education.
And
committed because of that investment. Joan mm-hmm. Borisenko found herself in the same place. She's a cell biologist. But her father dies of cancer. And that's enough of a nudge, enough of a trauma for her to say, I don't want to look at cells anymore. I don't want to be in a lab anymore. I've got to know how people are treated, because how I saw my father treated is just not right. You had your own epiphany of that kind, but it takes a special person, and it takes that awareness that, you know, no matter how invested I am, if I'm in a dead-end place, if I'm in a place that fails to satisfy my life, to fulfill me, then, you know, there is another opportunity. There is something else that I should be doing, but I have to have the courage to get out of the yard to do it in the first place. It took great courage for you, didn't it?
It most certainly did. You know, I think one of the important things there is, you know, you feel like you're supposed to be doing what you're doing because society says so, or, you know, but I was unhappy. And I kept trying to talk myself out of being unhappy. It's like, what is there to be unhappy about? You know, this is a good job, it's reliable, it's a good group of people, and I kept forcing myself to pretend to be happy, that, okay, I'm determined now, I'm going to have this as my career, this is what I'm going to do. And it would work for a couple of months, and then that little nagging voice would just be sitting there prodding at me. I was, you know, I wasn't fulfilled. It wasn't, you know, a really bad job. I mean, there were some really cool aspects to it, apart from the smell sometimes.
Lots of paid vacation.
Yeah, I did. I had a lot more paid vacation then than I do these days.
You know, I've got to interrupt you because we've got a break coming up, but I have to tell you something, okay, and I'll just say it on air. Had you not decided to walk away from that path lab and to pursue something else, and not gone on to the study of psychotherapy and hypnotherapy, I would never have met you.
Sure.
And had I never met you, I would have been really, I mean, I know you would have done well, but I would have really missed out. So
no,
I'm really glad you made that choice. We're talking today about choices and illusion. Specifically, how did I get where I am, and how do I get where I want to be? We have a hard break coming up. Computer's going to kick us out, but I do hope you'll stay tuned. We have a lot of material to cover in this next hour and a half. We'll be right back then after these words from some of our friends.
This is Breaking Limitations, brought to you by Provocative Enlightenment, hosted by Eldon Taylor.
Do you feel like you've become lost in a funhouse? Only seeing the reflection of yourself, past, future, and present, but unable to find the real you? I invite you to step through the doorway and onto the path leading to understanding of your mind, your choices, and the influences that surround you. Read Eldon Taylor's New York Times best-selling book, Choices and Illusions, now expanded, updated, and revised. It will provide you with real-life examples of how you can break free from your current perceptions and begin your journey to how high is up. Get your copy today from all bookstores or online from Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm Eldon Taylor, and it's my pleasure to host this special investigation. I love your comments and feedback, so please join me on Facebook or send your email to eldon@eldontaylor.com. That's eldon@eldontaylor.com. We'll try to share some of your letters every week because your feedback does influence our programming, and we're grateful for that guidance. So I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you, and enjoy.
Breaking Limitations is an in-depth course designed to assist you in answering the question, how did I get where I am, and how do I get where I want to be? By examining the same question from the perspective of many of today's most successful luminaries and teachers, it will be possible for you to utilize the answers to get your own life, not just back on track, but back on road that stretches higher and higher. If you are enjoying Breaking Limitations, please be sure to tell a friend. Replays will be available for a limited time, so there is still time for your friends to benefit from this special telecourse. Simply click on the sharing tools found on all the Breaking Limitations web pages.
Life is a journey. Each choice we make takes us down a certain path. But what if you found out the choices you made were not in fact your own? Or that hidden forces have kept you from reaching your true potential? Are you ready to break free? Read Eldon Taylor's New York Times bestseller, Choices and Illusions, now revised, expanded, and updated. Many have praised Eldon's breakthrough work. Actress and author Linda Evans said, "He's given us the tools to transform our minds and therefore our lives." Actress, author, and advocate Lindsay Wagner said, "Enjoy the journey. I did." Psychic medium and author John Edwards said about Choices and Illusions, "Read this book. We are living at a time when people are searching for answers to fundamental questions in their lives. This book can be, if applied, a roadmap to personal enlightenment and empowerment. I believe it can tune in the frequency you are currently operating on. More important, it helps you see that you can manifest change." Choices and Illusions is available from all fine bookstores, including Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. For more information, please go to www.eldontaylor.com/choices-and-illusions. Get your copy today. Your life will never be the same.
Close your eyes. Imagine your goals and dreams. What's preventing you from accomplishing them? Most often, we are our own worst enemies. I can't. I'm not good enough. It's time to reprogram that inner dialogue. Replace all those negative self-images with, "I'm good. I am powerful. I can do anything." Eldon Taylor's Inner Talk patented subliminal technology does just that. Researched at numerous universities such as Stanford and by governments such as Mexico and Germany, InnerTalk has repeatedly been proven effective at changing your self-talk. Stop imagining your goals and make them a reality today. Visit www.innertalk.com. That's INNERTALK.com. InnerTalk.com.
And now, we return to Breaking Limitations, brought to you by Provocative Enlightenment, hosted by Eldon Taylor.
And welcome back. If you just joined us, we're discussing the question, how did we get here and how do we get where we want to be? Now, before the break, Ravinder, we had just, you know, discussed that you have to be willing to risk in order to make a change. You know, change can be very difficult for people, but if you're unwilling to get out of the chicken yard, well, then, you know, the best thing for you to do, I suppose, is turn off the computer, turn off your radio, go away and go back to whatever, you know, because what we have in the rest of this show is all about helping you to find the motivation to make those changes, helping you to understand how the choices that you've made have led you to where you are and how the beliefs that you have tied you to right where you are, tethered you is probably the better word. So you were asking questions.
Okay. I like, you know, the use of stories to make points. I think, you know, stories just stick with you a whole lot better. They're there like a constant reminder to do things better.
I agree.
There was a time when you were working at becoming a better person. You decided to incorporate gratitude in your life. Can you tell us about that day when you returned to your office, you know, after you made the pledge that you were going to be thankful for everything that comes to you?
You know, in context, I have to reframe that just a little bit. I, you know, as a practicing criminalist, and I was at that time wanting to change my life. I was, you know, in many ways, I was maybe a little bit like Gary Renard. When you discover that things aren't working in your life, you say, you know, this isn't working. I have to do something different because doing the same thing over and over again is not producing a difference. And so there was an individual that I knew that was a very happy person. And I started to spend some time. She did some counseling. And on this given day, she said to me, okay, look, Eldon, if you're going to leave the paranoia, you know, the look over your shoulder, the angst and the anger, if you're going to leave that behind, you have to reengage life differently. You have to understand that, you know, from a practical standpoint, everything that comes to you for some good reason. I thought that's absurd. Everything that comes to you comes for some good reason. But if you think about it, Joan Borisenko's stories, all the people that I've ever talked to, their experiences in their life may have seemed really tragic or traumatic at the moment, but there was a major turning point that when they look back on it, although they would not want to relive it, they would not want to go through it, they are glad for the turn that it made. Well, if indeed I thought, being the very rational left-brain person I am, if indeed I have to deal with stuff, I may as well look at it from a positive standpoint, because it doesn't do me any good to look at it from a negative standpoint. That's just going to fill my system with, you know, the wrong neurochemicals. It's going to, you know, cause me to react in anger or something. So, all right, I'll go along with this, I told her. I will do that. She said, look at it this way, Eldon. The next time something bad happens to you, just say to yourself, I can't wait to see what good comes from this. Just put it in a state of suspension. I can't wait to see what good comes from this. Gives you the opportunity to put it over here, look at it, and not react to it like a ping pong ball being smacked by mallets. So now you can be proactive in that sense. So, okay, that makes sense, I told her. So I left her home, went back to my office, and as I pulled into my office, which was in a strip mall, I had to pass this restaurant that was kind of all by itself out in the middle of the horseshoe-shaped strip mall. And as I started past in my brand new Cadillac, out came this guy in an old vehicle, just backed out, smacked me right in the side. And I did. I mean, I took a deep breath and I said, I can't wait to see what good comes from this. Now, normally, I could tell you that the day before I'd have jumped out of my car, I'd have been furious. This is a brand new car, Eldorado Brits. I mean, I would have, you know, the anger would have come up, and of course, you know, I would have found myself filled with adrenaline, and that shuts down the optimal operation of your endocrine, your immune, and your autonomic nervous system. I would have gone away poisoned, if you will, okay? But because I said, okay, I can't wait to see what good comes from this, I stepped out of my car, and this older gentleman stepped out of his vehicle, shaking a finger at me, accusing me of hiding behind his car so he would back into me. Well, it so happened there were two law enforcement officers coming out of the restaurant at the same time. They saw it all happen. I ended up in the car with one, and the two of us were just rolling in laughter at this guy saying, I hid my car behind his so he'd back into it. You know, the car got fixed. Insurance covered it. There's a little bit of an inconvenience. But what I do today is I realize that I could have become really upset. But what would I have gained? I just still had a damaged car. It still would have had to have been repaired. I would have, you know, there was nothing to be gained. So pragmatically, it was just the right thing to do. And ever since then, I've lived my life from that standpoint that whatever happens to me is coming to me for some good. The good in this, the story I'm sharing right now, the realization that I had that, you know, I didn't poison myself with all those negative feeling chemicals. Instead, I had a good laugh. And when I look back on it now, it's a fond memory. It isn't, you know, it isn't something that still winds me up. How could that person even think I dare hide my car behind his jalopy, you know? So that's what that story is about. And that's the mechanism that was that assisted me in a turning point in my life.
It's really practical. You're right. You just feel better. And after you've had a few of those experiences, then you begin to see it more and more. And then it becomes easier and easier to do.
Yeah, well, you see, most people don't even see that choice. Most people, you just react. You know, what's the average reasonable man do? He reacts, you know. Hey, you. And that's it's purely insane. But that, too, is a chicken yard imprinting, isn't it?
It is, because that's what you're supposed to do, or so they say, and what you're supposed to do doesn't work. Okay, one of my favorite stories in your book is about good luck and bad luck. Can you share that with us and provide a context and reason for why that story's in the book?
Well, you know, the context really fits perfectly with what we just discussed. Again, I'm working on myself, and I'm trying to make this turn in my own life. And, you know, when you say, you know, everything happens to you for a reason, then you're looking out there in the world, and, you know, my mind is saying, all right, what, you're trying to tell me there's no free will, everything is predetermined? I don't buy that. And we might get into that in a bit, but I'm also looking in the world and, you know, I'm trying to find all these nasty examples of how things happen to people and what good could come of that. So I am being, you know, I'm even somewhat cynical. I'd say skeptical, but no, there was a part of me that was even cynical. So, you know, the purpose of this story is to illustrate that even the things that we think are terrible may not be so terrible. It's a story of a father and his son during the Civil War who, for all intent and purposes, were barely getting by. And I mean barely getting by. And one day, you know, the son's out with the one horse that they have, big old workhorse, and the old, you know, harness and gear and their plow, rusty old plow, and he's working the ground, getting ready to, you know, put some crops in, and a storm comes up and lightning strikes near, the horse bolts, the harness breaks, and the horse runs away. The whole town turns out. Such bad luck. Such bad luck. And the old farmer, he says, you know, good luck, bad luck, who knows? But without the horse, you're not going to be able to work your ground. And if you can't work your ground, you won't be able to have any crops. And what will you eat? I don't know. Universe provides. Good luck, bad luck, who knows? Well, the next day, this horse came home. And it brought a whole herd of wild horses with it. And, of course, the farmer and the boy, they ran out, got them in the corral, closed them up, and the whole town turned out. Such good luck. Such great luck. And the old farmer, good luck, bad luck, who knows? Well, the next day, the boy is out, and, you know, horses are worth a lot of money, but they're only worth it if they're trained. And so he's going to train these horses. He's going to break them all. And the very first one he gets on goes in the air facing north, comes down facing south, sunfishes on him, pitches him, breaks his leg. Well, the whole town turns out, such bad luck, such bad luck. Because now they can't do anything with these horses but feed them, you know? Well, the old farmer, he says, good luck, bad luck, who knows? Now, the next day, the very next day, the army marches in. And they subscript every able-bodied man. And they take him away to a battle where most do not return. But the boy has a broken leg, so he's not subscripted. And the whole town, such good luck. But the farmer, good luck, bad luck, who knows? You know, life unfolds that way. And if we maintain the idea that it does come to us for some good reason, we'll find the good in it in time.
I certainly do. You say that our choices are often illusions, and in Choices and Illusions, you share a story that makes that point pretty clear. Can you tell us first, what do you mean by choices are illusions? And second, can you share that story with us pretty clearly?
Sure. You really do like stories. I mean, I love to tell stories, but this is like three in a row. But okay, that's great. You know, the context for this is goes like this. Krishnamurti said, choice is an illusion. If I know clearly what I want to do, there is no choice. Choice only arises as a result of confusion. So if I'm confused, do I do this, do I do that, what's the right thing to do, etc., then I have a choice. But if I were to look with absolute clarity, there would be the best. And that best would be what I would do. There would be no choice between A, B, and C. Well, in a very real sense, that's how life is. But, you know, there's another component to that. When you think about the alphabet, you know, we've got A through Z. But most of us think of life as though we're living it A, B, C, as though it's a multiple choice question. And I can choose between only A, B, and C, and the rest of the alphabet doesn't matter. So, you know, kind of with that context, the story is about a person who visits New York for the very first time. And it could be any city, but in the story, this person visits New York, and they've always wanted to go to New York. They're passionate about New York. Yeah, they've collected postcards, and they know all the hot spots, and they save their money, and they finally get there, and it's a glorious day. It's absolutely glorious. The sky is perfectly clear. You can see forever. It is just unbelievable. It's like the Lord created this day just for this person. So the individual decides that they're going to just walk around on this gorgeous day, and they begin walking. Well, they find themselves off the beaten path, out into, you know, a condominium area, high-rise condos, a very elite kind of community area. And as they walk along the sidewalk, a flower pot falls from a third-story balcony and strikes them on the head. The pot breaks, falls to the sidewalk in front of them, charge scatter about, soil and plant, you know, distributed randomly on the sidewalk. Okay, now we have some choices. Imagine that this has happened to you. The typical, when I'm lecturing, answers that I get come down to three choices. The first choice is, you know, I'm going to pick up the shards of this pot. I'm going to take them up and, you know, where I'm going to put them on this person that set this too close to the edge of the, you know, balcony. And, you know, of course, I think about that. And, you know, if you got up there and knocked on the door and the guy that answered the door was a lineman for the Giants, New York, you might change your mind about that one. I would, okay? Your second choice is, yeah, I'm going to be an opportunist. I mean, look, you got a bump on your head. You've got some swelling and abrasion. You know you're going to be fine, but it does. It is painful, and it was shocking. But you don't need to tell the world that. You could feign whiplash, greater injuries. I mean, maybe even concussion. This is a fat cat. Look at these places, you know?
Yeah.
You could sue this guy. He's going to pay a pretty penny. He's never even going to want to go to court. His insurance company's going to run right in, and they're going to hand you a bunch of bucks. That'd be choice, too. Then there's a third choice that I think of kind of the new age choice, you know? It's the denial choice. It's everything happens, and of course, this must have happened to me for a very good reason. I read Choices and Illusions, and that's what Eldon Taylor says. Everything happens for a great reason. So I'm just going to, I mean, hey, look, the blow to my head may have caused some neuron rearrangement, and I'm going to get a special state of enlightenment out of it. So, you know, I'm just going to walk on, and I'm not going to let anything bother me.
I think that would be my choice, actually, I have to confess.
You see, all three of those choices are incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
And they're incomplete because you gain nothing out of it. You take no responsibility for it. You live your life as though you're a victim, and you just got whacked. And, you know, hey, things can happen to you for a good reason, but you're the agent living the life, you know. You have to do something with that situation. So, you know, when I ask people what else is there to do, they all are like you. I don't know, what else? You know my favorite solution?
Tell us.
Pick up the plant, go to the florist, have it repotted. Take it back to the owner, knock on his door, you know, hey, your flower pot fell off the balcony, it must have been set too close, hit me on the head, wasn't really convenient, but you know, I didn't want the flower to die, so I repotted it, I really hope you like the pot, and hand it to the owner. Can you imagine the look on the person's face?
Yeah.
Huh? Now, when I put my head on the pillow at the end of the day, that day, of those choices, which one's going to make me feel the best? The last one. I'm going to have that warm, fuzzy feeling, you know. I'm going to see that person's face. I'm going to know that I did something in the world that day to promote the kind of life I want to live. A peaceful, happy life. That's the story.
Yeah, and that's fabulous because you simply feel better afterwards. And isn't life about, it should be about feeling better as opposed to letting someone else drive you constantly. Now, in choices, you describe several mechanisms that limit our ability to properly think. For example, you speak about context limitations, definitions, framing, and the like. Can you give us some examples of this sort of limited thinking?
Yeah, you know, again, we're raised in the chicken yard, and the chicken yard includes lots of things. It isn't just digging holes and laying eggs. In our lives, we're given a language. You know, I speak English as my primary language because I was born in an English-speaking country. We don't stop and think about these things. We just begin to accumulate them. We just begin to become imprinted by them. So, you know, when it comes to things like definitions, we think of a noun as a person, place, or thing. We have learned mathematics as though it were axiomatic. In fact, you know, when I take a gallon of water and a gallon of alcohol and I add them together, and it's not 2 gallons of liquid, adults are, they're amazed, you know, because they're just convinced that 1 and 1 always equals 2. And, you know, it doesn't. It simply doesn't. Well, it does within arithmetic systems, but it doesn't in the real world. We get fixated on thinking that we know the world because we know a definition. We throw the lights on, because we hit a light switch and think, therefore, we understand electricity. And yet, you know, that's one of the areas of science where physicists are still working to understand more about electricity. So we don't understand that. We just use it and we have the name of it, so we believe we understand it. Well, that deprives us of the moments of awe that we knew as a child. The first time we saw a butterfly lift off a flower, you know, it was, wow, you know, that awe. Look at how gorgeous that is. And so we live our life in these definitions, and we've dulled off our senses, and we're just kind of moving on. We may as well be automatons in that sense. Well, okay, that's just a part of it. But coming along in this one big shovel with all of this are biases. And we have all kinds of hidden biases. In fact, the Harvard Hidden Bias Test, which is online, is something I encourage people to go take, because we can have biases against a lot more than race or sex. You know, we can have biases against age. We can have we all have biases. Even, you know, when you choose your favorite color, you're choosing colors that you don't like. But these biases can really influence our thinking at an unconscious level. The best example of that I know of is one Jesse Jackson tells. Jesse Jackson is a civil rights activist, just, you know, took a great deal of courage for him to tell this story, but he's returning from a hotel one evening. And as he's walking back to the hotel, it's dark, it's late, he hears some heavy, rapidly approaching footsteps coming from behind. He becomes alarmed, he turns, he looks, it's a white man, he's relieved. Now, imagine, I mean, he just had an uncovering. He realized that he had a prejudice. Imagine the courage it took for Jesse Jackson to share that story. Well, we all have these biases. And then, you know, things get framed. We have these expectations. You remember Susan Boyle, UK's Got Talent? So, you know, out comes this disheveled housekeeper. I mean, she's in circa 50s clothes. Her hair's kind of frizzed out. And the whole audience begins to jeer, laugh. Even the judges are rolling their eyes. And then she opens her mouth, and the most mellifluous sound flows out. Well, what on earth causes us to think that a singer has to look a certain way? You see, we have just brought along all these biases, all these definitions, and their implications include our expectations on how the world works. We have these mental shortcuts, these heuristics that operate, you know? And there's a time and a place for them, but when we go along operating completely unconscious, and we may get to that later too, we have lost the beauty of the world. And then there's the context. The context is also important. You know, I like the story of the scavenger hunt, where the man comes to your door, he's a friend, he knocks on your door and he says, you know, I need a 3x7 piece of wood. If you've got a 3x7 piece of wood, I can make $10,000 and I'll split it for you. Have you got a wood pile or something? And no, I don't have a wood pile. I mean, I'd like to split it $5,000, but I'm sorry, I can't help you. And you close your 3x7 wood door. Because you never see that as being a piece of wood. It's a door. It's only a door. Or the saliva in your mouth. That's my very favorite. You think about the saliva in your mouth. Right now, I give mine a pretty high score because without it, I can't speak. But the minute you think about taking that saliva and depositing it into a small shot glass and then drinking it right back, everything changes. It becomes gross, becomes vile. So why is the saliva in my mouth wonderful? I love it, you know? And yet as spit in the glass, it's absolutely vile. In this context, framing, definitions, all of this, these implicit biases, they shape our decisions. And, you know, we only have a couple hours here, so I can't cover all of them, and especially can't cover everything in the book. But if you get the bigger picture, you can see, hey, maybe I'm not even thinking. Maybe I am just responding. Maybe what I'm doing is just a matter of kicking out a script that's in my head. You know, this is what I'm supposed to say. This is how I'm supposed to act. I mean, after all, I practiced these things when I was a child, you know. I practiced go ahead and make my day or whatever the image, the icon was that I had it as a child. you know we're running out of time. We've got another break coming up. And when we come back from the break, I'll let you go back to asking me all the questions that you want. But, you know, I want to say one thing. Up until now, I hope you get the picture that if you examine your life, there are opportunities you have that you have not taken advantage of. And the only person that can take advantage of them is you. And the only way you can do that, the only thing that will bring about change is your mind.
We are all very aware of the power of belief. But are you aware that many times it is your inner beliefs that cause you to sabotage your own dreams and goals? Success is so much more likely when your inner beliefs are in line with your outer goals. And now, using Eldon Taylor's InnerTalk technology, you can do just this. InnerTalk is a patented subliminal technology and is the only such technology to be researched by numerous independent universities and institutions, including Stanford, and been demonstrated effective at priming your self-talk. There are hundreds of titles to choose from, ranging from weight loss to esteem, organized and efficient to prosperity and abundance, attracting the right love relationship to winning sports performance, accelerated learning to accelerated healing. Eldon Taylor's patented InnerTalk technology is your key to success. Check it out today. Visit www.innertalk.com. That's InnerTalk.com. InnerTalk.com.
Life is a journey. Each choice we make takes us down a certain path. But what if you found out the choices you made were not in fact your own? Or that hidden forces have kept you from reaching your true potential? Are you ready to break free? Read Eldon Taylor's New York Times bestseller Choices and Illusions, now revised, expanded, and updated. Many have praised Eldon's breakthrough work. Actress and author Linda Ebbin said, "He's given us the tools to transform our minds and therefore our lives." Actress, author, and advocate Lindsay Wagner said, "Enjoy the journey, I did." Psychic medium and author John Edward said about Choices and Illusions, "Read this book. We are living at a time when people are searching for answers to fundamental questions in their lives. This book can be, if applied, a roadmap to personal enlightenment and empowerment. I believe it can tune in the frequency you are currently operating on. More important, it helps you see you can manifest change." Choices and Illusions retails for $25.95, but during our special pre-launch event, you can get your copy for just $18.95. Choices and Illusions also comes with Eldon's Inner Talk program entitled Unlimited Personal Power, a $27.95 value. And as an additional incentive, all orders placed during the pre-launch will also receive access to Eldon Taylor's Hyper Imperia Meditation Program, valued at $39.95. Hyper Imperia is the program that many have reported gave them insights to their higher self, and in some cases gained valuable information from their guides and masters. Just click on the link for the Choices and Illusions pre-order sale on the Breaking Limitations web pages. Your life will never be the same.
Breaking Limitations is an in-depth course designed to assist you in answering the question, how did I get where I am and how do I get where I want to be? By examining the same question from the perspective of many of today's most successful luminaries and teachers, it will be possible for you to utilize the answers to get your own life not just back on track, but back on road that stretches higher and higher. If you are enjoying Breaking Limitations, please be sure to tell a friend. Replays will be available for a limited time, so there is still time for your friends to benefit from this special telecourse. Simply click on the sharing tools found on all the Breaking Limitations web pages.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm Eldon Taylor, and it's my pleasure to host this special investigation. I love your comments and feedback, so please join me on Facebook or send your email to eldon@eldontaylor.com. That's E-L-D-O-N at eldontaylor.com. We'll try to share some of your letters every week because your feedback does influence our programming, and we're grateful for that guidance. So I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you, and enjoy.
And now we return to Breaking Limitations, brought to you by Provocative Enlightenment, hosted by Eldon Taylor.
All right, and we're back. A little bit of a technical hitch there. Ravinder, you go ahead and pick it up with the questions.
The question I have is regarding standalone beliefs. You say that, you know, rather flatly, that there's no such thing. How important are our beliefs, and why is it you think they are all connected?
The research shows us that they're all connected. Indeed, they're very much like a spider web. They're so tied to one another that if you were to tweak one strand in the web, the entire web would vibrate. And it's important to understand that they are connected like that, because we can have beliefs. Often they're on opposite ends of the web, if you will. We think of them as dissonant, that keep us back. For example, we could have the belief that money is the source of all evil. The laden camel couldn't get into the gates of Bethlehem. The rich man, harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for that camel to pass through the eye of Bethlehem, okay? Which happened to be a gate, by the way, where a laden camel had to kneel in order to pass through.
Uh-huh.
But the bottom line is this. People very often are in pursuit of, say, money. Well, that seems to be one of the first things people talk about when they measure success. It's almost like the Monopoly game defines success for people. And who you are is not about how much you own. And I don't think wealth, true wealth, is about how much money you have either, but that's another subject. Bottom line comes to this. Let's just say wealth is what you want. Workshop after workshop, I've asked people, how many of you want to make $1 million this year? And everybody's hand goes up. I say, okay. Now, understand that you're going to earn $1 million. You're going to make $1 million. We're not talking about winning the lottery. So you're going to have to do some things differently. You're going to have to maybe go at risk. You may well have to, lose your job, leave your job, quit your job. You may have to do something in the evenings. But you're going to have to do something very different than what you're currently doing in order to make this $1 million. And you get all the puppy dog nods, yeah. Okay, all right. Now, you're also going to have to believe that you can make $1 million. So what I want you to do is say to yourself and say sincerely, quietly, this year I'm going to make $1 million. And I want you to wait and see how long it takes before that stream of consciousness comes back and begins to say things like, yeah, sure, what are you going to do, rob a bank? I mean, because the fact is, if you don't truly believe you can do it, well, then the likelihood of you succeeding is pretty minimal. Okay? You're probably not even really going to get started. The minute you say, yeah, I'll quit my job and go to this, you go, wait a minute, hold it. I've got bills to pay. I've got mouths to feed. And you stop yourself. Now, the same group of people that want to make the $1 million, you can wait, get down the highway, and then you can start reframing the conversation and talking about, folks that make all that money. Let me give you a real life example. One of the book reviews that was done, the writer said she had an epiphany after an epiphany after an epiphany, and then she hit this part about dissonance, and I used money as an example, just like I am right now. And she said she thought, well, that's not me. I don't have any problem with money. Money is fine. Money is good. And then, you know, that evening, she and her husband were watching something like Backyard Extreme. And the people in this television show were putting these elaborate swimming pools in their backyard and statues and marble walkways. And she said, "What a waste of money." And her husband said, "Those rich blankety blank, blankety blanks." Okay? And then she realized, hold it. If I had all that money, I might want to do that in my backyard too. But what she was doing was recognizing that she holds money away in a sense. I mean, it's okay to have a certain amount, but oh, that would be too much. That's like lavish. You know, people are always doing this. They pull up behind somebody that has a brand new car, you know, and it's just the car you want, the car of your dreams, you lucky sucker. Wonder what you did to get that. As opposed to pulling up behind them with, wow, that's for me. Great job. I celebrate you having that car.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all a switch in your head. But that switch in your head is an important one if you're going to succeed, if you're going to pursue, you know, life without this dissonance. And how important are your beliefs? Well, they're all, what should I say there, 100%? There's no, I mean, listen. There are multiple personality disordered patients who in one personality eye color is blue and in the next personality eye color is brown. Snap your fingers, eye color changes. Only thing that's changed is their belief about who they are. That's all that's changed. I could go on and on. Your belief actually influences your DNA molecule. And not only does it influence the DNA molecule and it's manifesting now, epigenetics shows us that how you handle stress, your beliefs, and your basis for how you're living may well influence your children and their children. It's a stored memory like in the DNA. So how important is your belief? Well, it has a lot to do with just how long you'll live, how happy you'll be, how much wellness you'll enjoy, the nature of your relationships, the quality of your... You know, it is all. How much water can you put in an empty glass? Well, it depends on the size of the glass. How much water can you put in no glass? That's how important your beliefs are.
So what you're kind of saying is that, you know, the beliefs form a box that we put ourselves into.
That's another way to say
it. And it is really easy to step out. All you have to do is understand what caused those beliefs. And then you can simply step out of the box and experience.
Well, you're trapped in your own spider web. That's right. You can just begin to undo the silk. You can become mindful for a moment. Begin to pay attention to that stream of consciousness, how you're talking to yourself, and take very proactive steps to alter that stream of consciousness. And there are a lot of them that I talk about in the book, and we might get to them too.
So a simple step out of the box, and your whole reality can change. And you know, you can just be healthier and happier, and there's more opportunities, more possibilities, more that you can do with life. You can live life to the full as opposed to forcing yourself just to stay within that little box.
People live in trances. You know, there's a wonderful story Richard Bach tells that I just love. You know I love it. It's a story, and I love stories, so here we go. Story of the fellow that's on stage hypnosis. And the hypnotist tells him, you know, now you're in a bomb shelter, underground, protected, totally secure. It's 10 by 10. I want you to walk around to each wall and feel them. And the hypnotized subject takes the right number of steps to actually be touching the walls, 10 by 10 on the stage. And he pushes on the walls, and there appears to be a wall to him. And the hypnotist says, and you understand that this is a bomb shelter. It's totally secure. There are no windows in it. It is completely sealed. There's no doors in it. No one can get in to get at you. You are safe. And at that, you know, the hypnotized subject is, yep, okay. And then the hypnotist says, but there's a danger, and you need to get out. You need to get out now. And the hypnotized person panics and they're pushing on the walls, they're kicking, they're trying to climb, they're flailing, and the audience is roaring because there are no real walls. But you see this person, and he is behaving as though there are real walls. Well, many of us live in that same kind of trance. And if we could just step back, we might even laugh at some of the things that we have done while we've been entranced.
That is just, there is just so much truth in that. It's absolutely phenomenal. And the key to coming out of the trance is to see it differently, to understand why it's there. It's a bit like the boogeyman in the dark in your bedroom. You know, you flick on the light, you see that, oh, that scary shadow in the corner was really just your clothes hanging on a chair. You turn off the light, it has no power over you anymore. And you can do that with all of your beliefs. All you have to do is understand why they're there, how they get there, you know, what causes it, and then suddenly you're free.
You got it. You've got it in a nutshell. And you sometimes don't even have to understand why they're there. You know, you don't have to go through years and years of uncovering work and, you know, extensive psychotherapy and so forth. There are other ways. You know, I often think of just priming your consciousness, just priming the way you talk to yourself. That's the reason we developed Inner Talk in the first place. It's like putting a garden hose in a dirty garbage can. A garbage can is just full of years of trash and filth, and the hose goes in and it begins to wash it out. And pretty soon, you know, not right away, but pretty soon the water starts to get clear. And then it just gets clearer and clearer and clearer. Well, we prime ourselves with, you know, the way we talk to ourselves. And so under many, many circumstances, most circumstances where professional health care isn't, you know, appropriate, we can flush these things out without ever having to go back and, you know, figure out what all the adaptive mechanisms were that we picked up as children in order to avoid being feelings of rejection and find, you know, ways to be accepted. And a lot of that pressure, a lot of that seethes out of our unconscious and still governs us today.
I think what's really cool about, you know, the revised version of choices is your decision to put an Inner Talk program in that. So you have unlimited personal power that comes with choices and illusions. You put it on the CD. And just as you were talking about flushing out the negative, limiting kinds of thoughts, well, you put on the CD, and that's exactly what it does. So unlimited personal power. I like playing that one in the car because it just makes me feel free. It makes me feel as though I can do it. I can do whatever I want to do. Now, what project is it I'm working on? Oh, yeah, and then inspiration starts to flow. There is that, you know, I don't hem myself in with, I can't think of any new ideas, I'm not sure how to do this, I can't, you know, all of that stuff goes away. Unlimited personal power, just, it's okay, I can do it, I'm free, I'm capable, and it happens automatically. I just stick on the CD and I love it.
You know, while you're on that, before you ask me another question, something that you should do, you should tell everybody about, is this brainstorm, this big book launch, because you just said, will they get the CD free with the book, which they do. But you've got a special pre-launch deal where they get a lot more than that, and there are all kinds of prizes and gifts and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So, and I'm not familiar with that. You could ask me the question, but I have kind of been in another channel, so I'm not sure what you're doing there. You know, tell me, too, while you're at it.
We work in an amazing industry, you know. The fact is, the vast majority of authors in our field do this work because they want to help people. And so if they encounter a book that they really like, then they will go and support it. And you have lots of support for choices and illusions. You know, we have hundreds of people out there who are telling their subscribers about the book as well, and they're offering bonus gifts as incentives. So each of these people is offering something as well. So there's a whole slew of free bonus gifts that you can get when you join the book launch. But we've also got a number of grand prizes too. I'm going to run through them really quickly because I don't want to take up too much time. If you look at the web pages, you'll find that. So,
where would they see the web pages?
Any of the Breaking Limitations web pages, there's a a small banner up on the right-hand side that you can click on, and that will take you directly there. Or you can just go to eldentaylor.com, and we have the banner up there for Choices and Illusions. So whichever way you can, you know, go access that. We are offering two chances to win an Inner Talk library customized just for you. So each of these libraries is valued at $500. Basically, you get a $500 coupon to go shopping at the Inner Talk store. You know, we've got a huge range of titles, and you can choose titles just for yourself, you know, for all of the goals that you could possibly have. Or you can choose titles for friends and family. You know, you can select the titles yourself, or you can call in and we'll be happy to help you out. But there are two opportunities for that. Hay House is also giving away 5 sets of 2 passes for the full conference. You know, they have the I Can Do It events. They've got lots of those planned. I think we have 4 or 5 of them that you can attend. You'll get the full pass to attend all of the events. So there's one in Denver, one in Fort Lauderdale, one in Austin, one in Baltimore. So there are 5 chances to win 2 tickets each to those events. And, you know, we'll offer that in the drawing. Dee Wallace is going to be coming up in Breaking Limitations soon. She's one of my favorite people because she walks the talk. She just has that vivacious energy about her. For those who, you know, don't connect, Dee Wallace is the famous author. She was in E.T. You know, she's worked with Stevens, Spielberg, Peter Jackson, a whole bunch of really big names, Stephen King, you know. She's done a whole lot of that. But she is also very much interested in our field. She focuses a great deal of energy in teaching people about how consciousness creates. And she does private healing sessions. So one of the prize drawings in this is an hour private healing session with Dee Wallace, and I've heard great reviews from that. People just really like that. We have a private telephone consultation with Dr. Norman Shealy. You know, he is famous for having established the Shealy Institute, a center for the treatment and research of chronic pain. This center is world-renowned for its four-sided therapies and treatments, and you can get a private one-hour consultation. And I know I have used some of the tips that Norm has given to us, you know, us personally, and that has been fabulous, you know. There's a private reading with medical intuitive Caroline Sutherland, and some of her insights are absolutely incredible. Plus, you can get registration for her spring detox program. You can get the complete healing codes package from Alex Lloyd. Now, most people have heard of that, but this is just the complete package. You know, how to do it, what to do, you know, and there's ongoing coaching that you get from that as well. And then we also have Peak Potentials is offering, you know, free tuition for the 2014 Enlightened Warrior Training Camp. That one alone is a $3,490 value. That one does include food and accommodation. There are lots of dates and locations for that, but you can enter a drawing for all of those prizes. And one of the other things, too, that we had, you know, you may have heard in the commercial, but during the pre-sale, we were offering the your Hyper Imperia meditation program. Now, for one reason or another, we haven't taken the pre-sale information down. So still on the Breaking Limitations page, if you click on, you know, the option for more information on the Choices and Illusions book launch special, you can still get Hyper Imperia. Now, Hyper Imperia is a meditation program. It's a hypnosis meditation program. That was one that you did on me live, first of all.
Yep.
And I was definitely given information. I was told something that would happen in 6 months' time. And, you know, I had ideas that, you know, maybe it would happen this way or that way. It didn't happen quite that way. But it did happen exactly as I was told. And because of my experience with that, I had you make that one of the programs that we have available for sale. And lots of people report some incredible results. But when you get Choices and Illusions, you will also get that Hyper Imperial program. That's a $39.95 value all by itself. And, you know, if you do that, do write to me and tell me what kinds of insights that you get. because, as I said, for me, it was absolutely phenomenal. And as I said, there's loads of other prizes there. So just go to the Breaking Limitations page and click on the pre-sale banner for Choices and Illusions, or go to eldentaylor.com, and there is a banner right there on the front page that will take you to, you know, how you register for all of these fabulous drawings and all the other additional prizes that you get as a result. It's a great launch, but even more important than that to me is just the value of the book. This book is, I would say meat and potatoes, but I'm a vegetarian. So think of all the most exotic vegetables that you can think of, the yummiest foods that you could possibly want. This has it all. This is not just a superficial look at a subject. Choices and Illusions will tell you how, why, what, where. You know, it gives you the tools. It explains it all. It gives you the inspiration for going forward. It, to me, is the guidebook. It is the roadmap to life. If you don't have that, you're always going to live within that box. And it's so easy to step out. You just need to know how to do it.
Okay, so let's go back to the tools. Let's talk about what's in the book. You've got another question?
Yeah, most certainly. I've got loads of questions for you, but we're going to have to speed up a little. You say, you address, you know, something that your mother calls birds of a feather. And again, you share an analogy about the escalator of life. Can you flesh that out for us, to use your famous expression?
Yeah, it's not really my famous expression, but it is one of my favorites. But, I mean, the answer is, of course. My mother used to say, birds of a feather flock together, and I'm sure most people have heard that. And that was her way of discouraging me from hanging out from the wrong kinds of people. It's a very true kind of a statement. If we flash back to our chicken yard and we think of Nina the eagle, very often when you make changes, you have to leave the chicken yard. It's not at all uncommon for you to find that the people that you have associated with in the past, you know, you're just not comfortable with, or they're not comfortable with you. I mean, it comes down to this. You can go to the pub after work. You can see people gather around the water fountain at work, and you can see that what they do is they gather around to kind of share their, well, an individual from South Africa, an investigator, a lie detection examiner, had a model for this. And I can't use his model because, again, it's one of those seven words. It's that S-H-I. So we'll just call it crap cookies. He said there were crap cookies, and there are crap cookie sharers. And you can see them. You know, they all congregate together, and they like to tell each other the crap they've experienced in life. You know, my day was just sucky. You know what happened to me this morning? Oh, that's so terrible. But do you know what my boss said to me? Oh, I feel so bad for you, but you know my son this morning, you know what he did? And so they get together and they share these crap cookies, and it's like they collect them. You know, they have a backpack, and they collect them. They just stick them in the back of this backpack, because the more they have, the more they can tell. And their entire social life is built around these crap cookies, you know? And my friend from South Africa says, you know, you can see him on an escalator, you know, and this escalator is like a moving sidewalk at an airport. It's just a racing along, and here comes a crap cookie, and they jump in the air to get it. It's like they're looking for him. They want to pack him away. They want to have him so that when they get together, the people they get together with, they can share them. All right. Well, if you think about that for a moment, the next time you see those folks gathered together, you know, walk up to them and say, hey, isn't life wonderful? Didn't you just have a great day today? And see how quickly they reject you, how quickly you realize you don't belong in that group, how quickly, well, water seeks its own level. And the bottom line to that story is this. When you make the decision that you're going to allow yourself to propel yourself into your potential, you have to be prepared that some of the changes may well include changes in the environment, changes in the people that you deal with on a daily basis. All right, we have another break coming up. When we come back from the break, I want you to tell everybody about the live online event, and we'll go back into some of the tools, and I want to take some of the questions. We have questions from our audience, so we'll have a very busy next half hour. We're talking about choices and illusions and how we got where we are and how we get where we want to be. We'll be right back after these words from some of our friends.
You are listening to Breaking Limitations, brought to you by Provocative Enlightenment and hosted by Eldon Taylor.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm Eldon Taylor, and it's my pleasure to host this special investigation. I love your comments and feedback, so please join me on Facebook or send your email to eldon@eldontaylor.com. That's eldon@eldontaylor.com. We'll try to share some of your letters every week because your feedback does influence our programming, and we're grateful for that guidance. So I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you, and enjoy.
Do you feel like you've become lost in a funhouse, only seeing a reflection of yourself, past, future, and present, but unable to find the real you? I invite you to step through the doorway and onto the path leading to understanding of your mind, your choices, and the influences that surround you. Read Eldon Taylor's New York Times best-selling book, Choices and Illusions, now expanded, updated, and revised. It will provide you with real-life examples of how you can break free from your current perceptions and begin your journey to how high is up. Get your copy today from all bookstores or online from Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble.
Breaking Limitations is an in-depth course designed to assist you in answering the question, how did I get where I am and how do I get where I want to be? By examining the same question from the perspective of many of today's most successful luminaries and teachers, it will be possible for you to utilize the answers to get your own life, not just back on track, but back on road that stretches higher and higher. If you are enjoying Breaking Limitations, please be sure to tell a friend. Replays will be available for a limited time, so there is still time for your friends to benefit from this special telecourse. Simply click on the sharing tools found on all the Breaking Limitations web pages.
Have you talked to yourself lately? What does that inner voice say? Are you constantly hearing negative feedback? Ready for a change? Inner Talk, Eldon Taylor's patented subliminal technology, can do just that. Change your inner self-talk. Turn off the negative by replacing it with positive affirmations. Inner Talk has been researched at universities such as Stanford and by governments around the world and has been proven effective at priming your self-talk. Armed with a new positive outlook, you'll find everything becomes easier, from losing weight to stop smoking, giving presentations to riding horses, learning things to being a powerful salesperson. Choose your title for change today. Visit www.innertalk.com. That's INNERTALK.com. Innertalk.com.
Confusion, deception, manipulation, feeling a bit controlled, lost. Learn how you can take back control of your life through proven techniques in Eldon Taylor's revised edition of Choices and Illusions. This New York Times bestseller is a guidebook to your journey to self-actualization, filled with practical, real-life solutions backed by scientific studies and guaranteed to awaken your inner genie. Get your copy today from all bookstores. Breaking Limitations is an in-depth course designed to assist you in answering the question, how did I get where I am and how do I get where I want to be? by examining the same question from the perspective of many of today's most successful luminaries and teachers, it will be possible for you to utilize the answers to get your own life, not just back on track, but back on road that stretches higher and higher. If you are enjoying Breaking Limitations, please be sure to tell a friend. Replays will be available for a limited time, so there is still time for your friends to benefit from this special telecourse. Simply click on the sharing tools found on all the Breaking Limitations web pages.
And now, we return to Breaking Limitations, brought to you by Provocative Enlightenment, hosted by Eldon Taylor.
And welcome back. If you just joined us, we're discussing the question, how did we get here and how do we get where we want to be? But before we get back to the show, I want to invite you to join me in a special Hay House Live online event. This event is a 6-hour immersion course spread out over 3 sessions. During the event, you will learn how to specifically uncover subconscious beliefs that tether you, holding you from moving forward. You will learn practical techniques to empower your life right now. You will discover why the mind is the only thing that can change your life and how to take full control of it today. I will share with you proven methods that are easy to apply and that alter your reality almost immediately, deepening your appreciation for who you are, for life, and all that you encounter on a daily basis. If happiness, a strong sense of self-fulfillment, joy, and awe, as well as success in other areas of your life, are important to you, then I strongly encourage you to join this live online event. You can learn more about it by going to Breaking Limitations. Go to any of the Breaking Limitations web pages. And I'd love to have you join us. Ravinder, you know all about this one. I know that I'm going to be facilitating it, but you arranged it with Hay House. Tell us about it.
That's right. You know, this is going to be an intensive course for people who want to take, you know, the teachings of choices and illusions and go into it more depth, more practically, you know, so that you have all of those tools. But Hay House is actually offering a number of additional bonuses as well, specifically if you, sign up for the live online event. So they are giving away Eldon's 3 DVD program, Change Without Thinking, which was the presentation that you did over in Malaysia. That was a complete workshop, so that has got everything in it right there. That is being given away. That is free to the first 100 participants who sign up, so you need to get moving on that one. With the live LOE, you get a free copy of Eldon's Choices and Illusions. You do get Eldon's interview from the Hay House World Summit, Your Mind, the Genie Within. That comes free to everyone. We are also going to be giving you 3 Inner Talk programs designed to facilitate change from the inside out. Now, this is part of the course, so you'll get 1 Inner Talk program per week, and we will explain to you how you use that so you can actually see the changes going on over this period of 3 weeks. So what you want to realize is the live LOE is, I mean, the regular price for that is $197, but don't worry, you're not going to pay that. Right now, you can get it on discount for $97, but with the additional bonuses that come with it, you know, you get the book free of charge, you get, end up with 4 Inner Talk programs because there is one that comes with the book, and you can get the Change Without Thinking DVD set. So that's $162 of bonuses that come when you do the live online event. So $162 worth of bonuses for an in-depth course that you will be paying $97 for. So that is, you know, the full training that you want for that.
Clarify something for me, will you?
Yes, sir.
You have the big campaign on. If they buy choices, they get all, you know, all these gifts that you talked about before we went to break.
Uh-huh.
If they do the LOE, they get different voice of bonuses. But do they also get all the other bonuses?
With the book launch, you know, basically you get these other bonuses. All you have to do is put in your order number. So if you decide to go for the live online event, you know, we'll get information from Hay House as to everyone who has registered for that. But for the order number, then if you just put in Hay House, then we will make sure that you get all the other bonuses too. So you can get the pre-sale, you can get the Hyper Imperia. You'd have to do all of this today because, you know, the pre-sale offer goes away after today. But all the other bonuses and all the other drawings, you can get the whole shebang.
See, it's all
so
of it.
it's a really big course in the mind and how to step out of that silly little box that we put ourselves into. You know, it's a full course. It's if you attend it live, you know, it will be recorded so that you can play it afterwards if for some reason you can't attend it live. But during the live event, you will be taking questions and everything as well. So it's going to be really, really valuable, and it is the key to everything that you teach. It really is the umbrella to everything that you teach. There's other aspects that people can go into in greater depth, but this will give you the whole story. You want the whole story in one great package. You know, you want to access it, you want to change your life today, then sign up for the live online event with Hay House. And again, the links for that you can find, you know, on the Breaking Limitations web pages. That will take you directly out to the Hay House site. You know, they're the ones that are hosting all of that.
Okay, cool. Now, you said at the break you had a couple of questions, quick questions, before you took questions from our audience. So what are they? Let's move on.
I do. You speak about how people are chameleons. What do you mean by that?
You know, I think that's a pretty common one. But let me point out a couple of things, because this is an important point. We know from hard research that if I sit you down at a table with a hand sanitizer on it and ask you questions that could be scaled liberal toward conservative, that your responses will be more conservative with that jar of hand sanitizer on the table than if it's not on the table. There is no such thing as a neutral context. You know, in the old days, get me, in the days that I practiced criminalistics, we had lie detection rooms, examination rooms, and the examination room was just four walls, and they were perfectly white walls. There was nothing hanging on the walls. We did not want somebody, you know, looking at something, concentrating on something, at a plain white ceiling. But there was still an apparatus in the room. That apparatus was there to determine whether or not you were truthful. So there was no such thing as a neutral room, even though this room was plain. There was nothing there but a chair, two chairs, a table, and a lie detection device, of course. All right? So when you think about it, if you're in a library, the library implies certain things, and it primes how we behave because we tend to change our behavior according to our expectation, which is built on these primes. Best example is the way you dress. You know, I have a psychologist friend that does a radio show that is also a biker, and I'll tell you what, in her office when she's doing psychotherapy, you know, it is just totally professional. But let her put her chaps on and straddle that Harley, and you have got an entirely different personality. And I think everybody relates to, you know, you put on your athletic shoes, maybe your jogging outfit, and your walk changes. We've got this little hobby horse ranch. If I put on my chaps, boots, and hat, start toward the barn, it's an entirely different persona than when I'm lecturing like over the weekend at Third Place Books in a suit and a tie, you know? So we are very chameleon, and we need to recognize that because it can be used against us, is used against us by people that market things or want to sell us ideas, want to own our thoughts. And hey, that's big, big business, you know. In mind programming, I talk about the billions of dollars. Indeed, in Choices and Illusions, we take some advertising manual, an actual training manual that is used to create subliminal messages. This one happens to be a liquor advertisement for Imperial Whiskey. It tells us exactly how they did it, why they did it, what aspects of it appeal to what levels of our unconscious, you know, and when you understand that, you know, even our politicians are hiring social psychologists to create the framework by which they operate their campaigns and build their platforms, and the kind of paraphernalia that they place behind them, and the words they choose for their boiler people, those that are making all the phone calls in the boiler room to get out the vote, the words they choose for them to use that they've proven motivate. When you understand this entire scheme of things, you realize how critically important it is for us to be sensitive to the fact that we do, change. We do comply by the primes in our environment. And the only way to avoid that is to be aware of it.
Cool. The mind is a precious resource. It can give us anything that we want, but we have a responsibility to protect it and take care of it too. I think that's cool. Okay, one last question before we get some out of the chat room. Gratitude is but one of four elements that you outline as a certain path to a better life. You call this your Four Corners philosophy. It begins with forgiveness. Why forgiveness?
You know, one of the real turning points in my life was when I discovered that there was a very thin line between myself, the criminalist, and the inmate in the prison system. It was how we had chosen to act out our hostility, our aggression, our blame. I found a socially acceptable way to do that. Others didn't. But when we decided we were going to run a study at the prison system to see if we couldn't lower hostility and aggression and maybe even interrupt the recidivity rate, we ran some very sophisticated psychometrics, computer-enhanced, the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory. We used an incarcerated lens, the Fowler lens. It was the latest state-of-the-art and the first of its kind ever to be run in a prison system. And when we were all said and done, we hadn't learned anything that we really didn't know. We had high scores in self and social alienation, so we had a population that didn't think very highly of themselves. They had low self-esteem, and their compensatory mechanism is, if I'm not any good, neither are you, okay? And they acted that out in deviant ways. When you spent time with these inmates, what you learned was they all had excuses. The excuses were how they displaced responsibility. They blamed everything on their life on someone or something. It was all a matter of blame. Well, I had a lot of that going on in my life. I left home when I was very young. I blamed my father for this. I had a lot of anger and a lot of blame in my own life. When we decided that we wanted to undo their ability to displace responsibility, and that's what blame does. I mean, look, when you blame somebody, you've effectively disempowered yourself. It's not my fault. What else could I do? Hey, it's not up to me to do anything. So-and-so did this, Hey, Abba, for the grace of God, there go you. What if this had happened to you? The only way to undo that is to forgive whatever it is that you blame. You stop. When we were working with the prison system, I suggested that we're going to create some programs, and these programs are going to have some heavy-duty forgiveness messages in them. I forgive myself. I forgive all others. I am forgiven. You can understand that there might have been some, now wait a minute. If they forgive themselves, aren't they just going to go out and do it all over again? I mean, we need them to feel guilty about it. But no, that's quite the contrary is true. If you forgive anyone, everyone, in all circumstances, you're suddenly empowered to do something about it. In the absence of that forgiveness, you are a victim. You are on the end of a puppet string. You have been acted upon by the universe. You have been acted upon by some other person, and there is nothing you can do about it except hang limp until they pull the strings again. Okay? once you do forgive, you have severed those strings. I mean, think about it. There's two ways to be tied up in the world. One is someone physically ties me. The other is I just hang on to a belief like a thread attached to a doorknob, and I refuse to pull it hard enough to break it or to let go of it. And as long as I need to blame, I'm hanging on to that thread. I'm allowing it to tether me right there in place, you see. But as soon as I've forgiven, I enable myself to be proactive. I enable myself to do something about the circumstances. You know, in the prison system, we could have inmates that would tell us all these stories, and you know, they could have a sibling who went through the same kinds of stimuli that they dealt with, but ended up in a teaching hospital as a physician. So it is our choices that leads us down the path to where we are, but sometimes life acts on us. And when life acts on us, if we stop and blame either those things that led us to the choices we made, and or the things that acted on us in our life, we have frozen that moment forever until we undo it. That moment is frozen in my head. It is frozen in my mind. I cannot move from it. I will relive it. I will hold on to it. I may punish myself with it. I may attempt to punish others with it. I can certainly justify why I feel the way I did, because after all, wouldn't you? But I'm unable to move forward because of it. Well, listen, we put this together. It's a program called Forgiving and Letting Go. It has some, you know, a self-esteem compliment, a profile to build, you know, self-confidence, and it has the forgiveness messages in it. We employed it at the Utah State Prison. The data was so robust that the prison system put voluntary libraries throughout, from minimum to max. As you know, Ravinder, I have since used it in every application with elite athletes, like our Barcelona Olympic team, the judo team, to Fortune 500 executives. And in all instances, to me, it's the place that you begin. Because if you're going to begin, you have to begin proactively. You have to begin by taking responsibility and saying, okay, you know, this may have happened, but I'm putting it behind me. I am moving forward, and you can't put it behind you unless you forgive it. The program is so important that it's available on our website, innertalk.com, innertalk.com, as a free program to this day. You can download it as an MP3, or you can order it as a CD. But as far as I'm concerned, that's the place everybody begins, and it is so important that we include those three messages, what we call the forgiveness set, on every single program that we make. I forgive myself, I forgive all others, I am forgiven. Now, mind you, this research took place back in the early 80s. That was long before the journals started to fill up with all the hard research that exists today, showing that indeed forgiveness is that point where you can change everything in your life, including your personality. So it is, to me, it is the cornerstone of where we begin. I'm glad you asked that question. I'd hate to get out of the show without talking about that.
It's how you can move forward. You know, you let go of the blame, you let go of that stuff, and suddenly there are options. So the choices you were talking about at the very start of the show, you know, we tend to see one, two, three choices, whereas, in fact, there's an entire alphabet. Well, that becomes the first step to opening up more choices that you can have and things that you could do. You're empowered to do something about it. That's how, you know, that's how it affected me.
Well, and it's absolutely true. You know, it is, as you say, it's opening up the lexicon. You know, I'm no longer stuck with just your ABC. And I'm not just, you know, I'm not just any longer looking at the rest of the alphabet. I'm looking at all the words that are made out of that alphabet. It's an entirely different world, but it begins there. I am convinced, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but I am convinced to the precise extent that you maintain, you hold on to, even a residual action of blame, you are limiting your own potential, period, end of quotation.
I think so too. It is.
Okay, we need to get some questions out of our audience. What did you got from the audience?
We do. I've got, I'm going to try and summarize it. You've got one here from Kathy in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
She had a traumatic childhood, with violence and parents who were absent, and she has never experienced a feeling of safety. She's had years and years of nights with panic and tension, and she's lives isolated because she has a chronic illness. But how can she get that feeling of safety?
She has a chronic illness, or
she has a chronic illness. She has a chronic illness as well now, so she doesn't have much contact with other people.
Well, first of all, I would suggest that, the appropriate thing is to get a therapist. I don't have enough information here. What kind of chronic illness is it? Can she leave the house? Why does she have herself isolated? I look at these kinds of stories, and I'm going to generalize this one, and I wish Kathy were on the phone and I could flesh out more of what this issue is. But I'm going to tell a story to give the answer. Once upon a time, I had a young woman come to me, and she'd been referred by a psychiatrist for counseling, and I looked at her intake sheets. She was suicidal. She had attempted on several occasions to take her life. Most of the time, it was a rather haphazard attempt. It wasn't, had she been serious enough, she certainly would have succeeded. But instead, she abused herself. She punished herself and cried out for help in that process. And that's what these suicide attempts were about. And she had a great deal of guilt because of a scenario involving a younger sibling. It's not necessary to go into that, but the guilt would have been normal for just about anyone to hold on to. Okay. Now, when I looked at her intake sheets, what I saw was that her very first healthcare provider, and she had a whole history of them, was none other than Milton Erickson. Now, to me, as you know, Milton Erickson is the father of NLP. He's, the psychiatrist. The guy walked on water. So I really did look at this before the client came in and think, what on earth am I going to do with this person? But serendipity visited me, and when she came in, I gave her an outline for what we call brief therapy. I'd see her 10 times over 10 weeks, and she'd have homework, and we had this agreement, and da-da-da. Her homework was every day she was to do a good deed for someone, her first week. Go out of her way to do the deed, and then write it in her journal at the end of the night, review that before she fell asleep, and take it into her sleep. Week two, it was two. Week three, it was three. By the time we got to week five, it was five, and we maintained that. Now, to begin with, some of these good deeds were really kind of,
weak.
Weak. That's a good word, all right? But as time passed, you remember her. You were there.
Uh-huh.
As time passed, she got to some pretty significant deeds. Now, they could be something as simple as handing somebody a little change at the cash register because they were short, or helping someone across the street, or giving some directions. But she would also take things to employees, fellow employees that she thought disliked her, and give them a gift. Well, the bottom line is, at the end of that 10 weeks, she was no longer on psychotherapy, on all the heavy medications that she had been on. She maintained contact with us. Her psychotherapist withdrew, or psychiatrist, I should say, withdrew most of the medications, eventually all. It changed her life. The reason for that is she became full from the inside out. Our lives gain definition and security when we realize that they make a difference. And there's no better way for us to inform ourselves of how much difference they actually make than to go to the aid of other people in need. Gerald Jampolsky's clinic in Tiburon, California, has taught us that someone in incontractable pain, when they go to the aid of someone in need, the pain disappears completely. We're out of time. I'm sorry. We've come to the end of this episode of our special Provocative Enlightenment investigation into the question, how did I get here and how do we get where we want to be? I want to thank you all for joining us, and I hope you enjoyed and will join us again this next Thursday for another look into the life and teachings of our icons. This Thursday, our guest will be Howard Martin of HeartMath fame. Now, if you have any comments on our show, do please let us know. I hope you'll take advantage of the choices and illusions, great offerings. My lovely bride's looking at me like she wants to say something, but we are just flat out of time. So
next
until next time, believing in yourself always matters.